high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the man!
Hello and welcome back to the Toffee Blues podcast, your source for all things Everton. My name's Thomas, back with another podcast today. It's effectively the start of the season podcast. I'm not sure if I want to say podcast any more times there, but the Spurs game is coming up on Sunday. So we're back with a season preview today and a Spurs preview, joined by Terry McAllister, of course, of the Toffee Blues, and very, very special guest. Apparently he's gonna open our podcast for us today, talking all about Everton's transfer business so far. This isn't going to make it into a video segment. It's basically Owen's moment to shine. If you don't know Owen, of course, from Breathe Everton on Instagram, definitely check him out, and of course check out his Twitter as well. But Owen, coming over to you first, what are your thoughts on Everton's transfer business so far in the window then?
You know, the last time I came on here was before all these like transfers were sort of in the pipeline and we were getting linked with all different players. I was A, quite negative on the whole transfer situation at Everton, and B, I got a DM off someone on Twitter who said all them transfer links like Darlow and I think I might say Diatta were very hipster for me, and they were expecting for me to say Jeff Hendrick and Alex Bruce and everything. And so I felt like I let the side down for the anti-hipster organisation. But I am very pleased, and I'm not going to lie, with the business we've done in the past week. I think probably Alan's my favourite of the signings, because I think we're just crying out for someone in the midfield who can just like put fires out, you know, put set traps across the pitch, win the ball back, shield the back four. And I love all that, because I feel like it just alleviates all the pressure on the back four, and ultimately Pickford, who's very shaky, as we all know. And then you've got the core, who is a box-to-box powerhouse. I think he's got something like 19 goals in his time at Watford or something like that. I don't think if we are midfield play for 5 years, they would get that between them. So that's a positive. If he could get even more goals, if he's playing with better players. And obviously, James Rodriguez is the pick of the bunch, which at first I was pretty negative about. I'm not going to lie, because I thought 29-year-old or whatever he has come to Everton, injury prone, are we going to see him very much? But I suppose we've just got to wait and see. I think he's a quality player. And if we can get him on the pitch, I think that elevates us up, I'd say, about 10 points, to be honest, because that star quality is just, so it's priceless, really, what someone like him could offer. I think it's just about getting him on the pitch. I think the issue with Real was I don't think he was in Zidane's type of player. And so that's probably why he didn't get on the pitch much either. But I think fresh start for him at Everton, the business we've done so far, and Tomori being linked on loan, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We could get that done, wrapped up. Be really happy with that. So I'm slightly disappointed Kenny Tete's went for Fulham, because I think he could have done the job for us.
Yeah, and then so you mentioned Tomori there. Do you think, I mean, there's different questions basically. I mean, on one hand, you could say, do you think we're done? Because, I mean, the ask will tell you we've got no money left, but so do you want to be done, or where else do you think we need to recruit before we, not before we go into the season, before the 5th of October or whenever the window closes, something like that?
I don't know. I suppose we'll have to see. I feel like if we could get Tomori in on loan, that'll be, I think, another centre. I weren't big on buying another centre back, but now someone said Tomori or one, and it's that kind of thing. If you didn't say him, I wouldn't have wanted them, but now I do, because you said it. I think in that case, I think what Teddy's been saying for a few weeks about keeping Kenny and Coleman for the next season, not as like an ideal, but sort of like, if it allows us to fill in the areas we desperately need. I think Coleman, especially defensively, can do a job. And I think this league's shown that if you can have just some players that can do a job, I think that's just fine. I think you don't need to sort of like reinvent sort of the wheel on football or anything. You'd be fine. And I think Kenny, I think for the odd game, you can live with that. Especially if you're playing a team who are just defending. I think his crossing's all right, so he can pick a good cross out. And then I think we need another winger because I'm not sold on Bernard at all. I think Iwobi's more of a central player. I don't think his future's really in the system we're going to play. Walcott, I think, is decent, but he's all right. I wouldn't say he should be our starter. And Anthony Gordon's still very young, so we'll have to wait and see how he does. And we've got, obviously, Hammers, but I just think another winger and Tomori on loan, and I think that'll be a great window.
Yeah, I agree, to be fair. And I wasn't going to come to Terry, but I know Terry's actually got some thoughts on Bernard. So just before we kind of move into the video segment, Terry, what are your kind of thoughts on Bernard and Iwobi, basically just what Owen was talking about there?
I think if we got an offer for either of them, then we'd sell them. I think they'd probably prefer to sell Bernard because he's on more money and probably look better on FFP considering, you know, we got him for free and we spent a fair bit of money on Iwobi and Iwobi's younger. So, but I don't think either of them are particularly safe. It's just, I just don't envision getting many offers. I think that's going to be the hardest thing now, to get rid of players, because not a lot of clubs have got a lot of money. And if clubs are going to be very, you know, careful with the money, they're not going to buy, let's be honest, shite from Everton, are they? Like, no one's going to come in and get, like, no one's going to be knocking our door down for, you know, Fabian Delph, are they? But we'd probably like to see him gone, and quite a few others as well.
This is the thing that really gets me, to be honest, at the moment, was sort of like any big player with quite a big price tag, no, most notably Wilfred Zaha. It's like, we'll offer you a fiver and just about 20 players we don't want, but we'll presume you want them. It's like, that's not going to work. No one's going to accept that, are they? So.
No, I saw that, and I just think, yeah, you're saying to Palace, you know, well, we'll, you know, we'll give you the 10 bob note, and you know, Iwobi and Kenny. You can have Sigurdsson as well if you want. But imagine Man United wanted Richarlison, and they were going, yeah, we'll give you Lingard, and we'll give you Dalot, we'll give you Phil Jones as well if you want. Yeah, that'll be sound, won't it? I hate that mentality that clubs who are smaller than you will just stand there and let you take the piss out of them. It's like, it's not going to happen. Like, it'd be great if they wanted a player and it could bring his price right down. But let's be honest, if they did, I think we'd have done that yesterday. We obviously would really like Zaha, but if they were willing to take Dross off us, they'd have let us know before now.
Yeah, so there you have it. That was just a bit of a short transfer talk at the start of the video, at the start of the podcast, sorry. But we're now going to get in a bit more content about kind of, you know, getting back on the pitch now. We've had the majority of the transfer window. We've had a kind of pre-season. So our first segment coming up is the season preview. Today we're going to be kind of giving our season preview ahead of the 2020-21 campaign. We are going to talk about Everton. We'll talk about the league a bit in general as well, kind of the clubs that we think might finish kind of around us. But kind of, I'll come to Owen first. I mean, we on the podcast there, we've just spoken briefly about how probably more optimistic we're looking towards the season ahead of, you know, after the transfer business we've kind of done in the last 7 days almost now. So, Owen, kind of initial thoughts, where do you think we're going to finish? What kind of season do you think we'll have?
I've sort of like gone all around the houses where I think Evan, we're going to finish. I thought before we were even linked with anyone, I thought it's finished 12th last season and it doesn't look like the squad's any better than 12th. So I thought we'll finish 12th. Then I thought, do you know what, we'll probably get a few players in. Let's see you, but I think we'll be 10th. Then we've just gone on an absolute whirlwind of like Decore, Alan, James Rodriguez, Tomori on loan, maybe Zaha, whoever. And I'm thinking 7th or 8th. I think people who are saying the top six are a bit unrealistic, considering I think the top six are quite strong. I think obviously Chelsea have brought in some good players. We'll see how they do. I think Tottenham, superb coach. I'll just see how it's set up really there, but I think they'll get results at least. Man United are still worries over the manager, but I still think, despite that, their team's really good. I think the midfield attacking-wise anyway with Pogba and Fernandes is excellent. And then Arsenal, they're probably closer to us, but then again, I still think Aubameyang lifts them up a bit further. I think they'll probably bring closer to us if they hadn't kept them, but if they're going to keep them, I think they're going to be closer to 5th than they are 7th. So it'll be between us and Wolves, I think, for 7th. I think we've done better business than Wolves. I don't get spending 40 million on an 18-year-old when you've got no players, but it's to their own. Also, Wolves, I've got as eighth at the moment, I think that's because I still think in some key areas we're like quite behind and like right back. I think we lack a winger, but you know, a couple of players here and there. So I think we'll finish seventh, but at the moment, eighth.
Yeah, Owen, Terry, what are your thoughts going into the season?
To be honest, I think this season, and it is an overused expression, but it'll be a season of genuine transition. It's not even about the new players coming in and transforming Everton and whatnot. It's more about we've had, you know, several years now of flitting between managers, styles of play, you know, expectations, and we've just literally landed in the middle of the table every year with a mess of a squad, with a mess of, you know, a managerial situation. Whereas now I think we might start to see some stability going forward because of the manager we've got. That isn't to say we won't have bad spells under Ancelotti, but I think we've now got the trust in the manager as a fan base and as a club in general, where we'll weather bad spells. So he won't be going like the other managers have after, you know, several months and some bad runs if they occur. So now it's half, you know, new players coming in and changing the dynamic and the culture of the club, and half Ancelotti getting his methods sort of bedded in and basically going through the squad and, you know, the players who can, you know, do things Carlo's way will stay and the ones who can't will go. It's what we had under David Moyes. It's what other managers who've been in jobs long term have had, from the very top at Jurgen Klopp to Owen's favourite Tim Burnley. You know, like that stability will, you know, breed better success and better performances and results on the pitch. So I think this season will be a real season of change from the turbulent few years to more of a stable style and a stable set of expectations right the way throughout the club. So what that means, without waffle speak, is I don't expect, you know, great achievement this year, but I expect more consistency, and I expect to see a style in our play and in how we do things and what have yet to become apparent, to be visible. So with regards to finishing in the league, I agree with that one, seventh, because I think the top six all are a little bit too far ahead of us. Like, let's not forget, we're bringing in good players, but they've been bringing in good players for years while we haven't. We've got a better manager than a lot of the top six, but how much that can, you know, make the difference considering the gap in playing squad, I don't know. Seventh is, you know, jokingly called on the Guardian Football Weekly podcast, the Everton Cup, because we finish seventh every year, but we haven't for the past few years. And that's half because, you know, Wolves have turned up and they've had a couple of good years, but they're not Everton. If Everton get their act together, we're better than Wolves. Like, we'll just, you know, we'll go back ahead of Wolves. We've sort of shot ourselves in the foot and then tried to have a race with another club who were nice and organised, but we get our act together, we're still better than Wolves, we're still bigger than Wolves. I think we'll get back into seventh, which will be a good first step, and then after that, it's all about what business you do. The easy bit is getting back to seventh in a way. The hard bit is going any further than that, because we've already been seventh 100 times. Getting further is where we need to go, but one step at a time, as I say.
Yeah, but what I would say, though, and I think this could be taken out of context for some people, what I'm going to say, but if Everton have a season similar to Ronald Koeman's first season at the club, but with the sort of like building blocks properly put in place, I think that's exactly what we need right now, just a solid year to consolidate ourselves as the best of the rest, to then look to go further then. I think at the moment, going from 12th to the top six is a bit fanciful, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't particularly think it's about closing the gap on the top six. It's putting the gap back between us and everyone else. Like that Ronald Koeman season, you're saying, we finished, you know, I can't remember. I think it was 7 points off the sixth place when we were in seventh. But I'm sure we were 14 points ahead of eighth at West Brom at the time.
Yeah. So we're 15 ahead of West Brom, I think.
That's what we need to get back to. And it's, you know, it's not a glamorous. It's not, you know, we think, you know, Ancelotti's here for, but we were 12th last season. We need to reestablish ourselves as top six, then Everton. Put, you know, Wolves, Sheffield United, Southampton, all these clubs who are good, but not, you know, like, not really who we want to be competing with, put them back behind us and get ourselves back, stay on a stable footing. And then next summer, when we've got a little bit more financial freedom with some of the Koeman players, you know, coming off the profit and loss, you know, spreadsheet, then start looking and building even more, you know, quality players into the squad, getting rid of more dross who are holding us back, and then work from there. This season really is, as you say, a stabilising transitional season for me. It could do better than that, could be brilliant, could surprise everyone, but I'd be happy with that. That Koeman year, but you know, build on it properly next time.
Yeah,
I think that. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I'm just going to say, like, I think this centre midfield, I'm not sure I've ever seen an Everton team which was so, it had such a gaping hole in it, which was such an essential part of the team, to be honest, until last season, where we saw from the restart. I mean, we knew it all along, really, that centre midfield was poor, but it really did kind of come to fruition kind of in that lockdown period of football. And I mentioned it in a tweet kind of when everyone was losing their heads, as we all do, on Twitter after whatever that string of losses we had was. I mentioned, I thought we had an all right shell of a team, to be honest. Like I spoke about with Charleston, Holgate, even Mina sometimes, Calvert-Lewin up front. I thought we had a decent team, Luca Dean on the left back. But the massive problem was, and I don't think you can underestimate it at all, was the centre midfield. And I was desperate for us to go out and recruit them. I mean, we absolutely have, to be fair. Bringing in Allen and Decore, I mean, it brings literally everything, every single quality that our midfield lacked. I'd say we probably have now. I mean, midfield of Davies, Gomez, Sigurdsson, I mean, what it didn't have much defensive ability, as much as Superstato would like to argue with us, as he has been back on Twitter today. It didn't have any kind of energy, any kind of driving us forwards. And we've answered that problem massively. I think our season massively depends on how quickly Allen and Decore hit the ground running. Yeah, yes, it would be nice to see Hammers have a very good start. But I think he's out of the three, it's going to take more time to become accustomed to the league. And I think the centre midfield is more essential. I mean, we could play Hammers there. I think that's going to be unlikely. We play him two midfielders in a 4-4-2. But I just think that our season will very much depend on how quickly Decore can get in. By the sounds of it, he's fit. He hasn't been training with Watford like properly in the squad, but I mean, he's been training anyway. Allen was with Napoli's training squad, and because all this business has happened late to an extent, I mean, there's still actually almost a month left on the window, so you could say that's been a bit harsh. But because of the way the business has been done, we might have a slow start, but so will the majority of teams, to be fair. I mean, we're not going to talk about Spurs too much here because we'll have a preview on that, but they have, I don't know how many fixtures coming up in the next month or so because of their Europa League campaign, if they stay in the Carabao Cup as well. I mean, it just shows every team has got a very congested fixture list. So I'm not even going to blame fitness too much, to be honest, because everyone's going to have their problems. So I think it depends the instant impact that Allen and Decore have for me. I'm hoping we can get back up there in that kind of seventh position that, as you mentioned, the Everton Cup, it did seem like ours for years and years and years. I think the difference is between us and Wolves at the moment, we're still kind of fixing a squad. It seems to me like their signings haven't been kind of fixing holes in their squad. It's more just been adding to it. Like, they didn't need Fabio Silva, but, I mean, they signed him anyway. I mean, they probably need to recruit right back now. They've lost Doherty. I mean, I don't know their squad inside out, but it seems we're actually answering the problems that we had, but they're just kind of signing different players at the moment, which, I mean, might turn out for them. I mean, they might criticise Wolves, obviously. They've had a brilliant couple of seasons, but as you both mentioned, they're probably going to be our kind of main rivals for European football. If, well, potentially that seventh position. It wasn't Europa League last year, but it tends to be, doesn't it? Terry, come to you first. Kind of, who else are you maybe expecting to be round about that position that we might be competing with?
Well, if you take the established, you know, Sky Six as being, you know, in situ, then Leicester City, I think they will drop off, but they're still going to be there. Like, they won't be as good as they were last season, but last season they were in, you know, second for a lot of the season, or third.
That's mad.
Yeah. So they I feel they will drop off because, you know, Rodgers, you know, is Rodgers, let's be honest. This is what he does. But it doesn't mean they're suddenly going to be, you know, a non-entity. They will be there and probably, you know, easily the favourites for seventh place. Then you've got Wolves, obviously. Southampton. They've got you know, a good manager, a very good manager, and a goal scorer, and sometimes that's all you need. So I think Southampton could be very dangerous. Outside of that, I think everyone else will just, you know, be quite steady. You know, you'll still get, you know, Burnley will do well, but they won't probably threaten to get seventh with too many of the, you know, more, you know, the wealthier teams like ourselves in and amongst them. Same goes for Sheffield United. They'll probably consolidate, but they won't, you know, hit the heights of last season. I don't think they'll collapse. Everyone's expecting them to have a second season syndrome. I don't think they will. I just think they'll slot nicely into the league and just be another Crystal Palace who do well in some game, poor in others, and then just stay steady. So Southampton, Leicester, Wolves, Everton, I think are the four who are going to be in and amongst that. And whether that group works out like that and whether they're close to the top six or there's a big gap, I don't know. It's a very unpredictable league at the best of times, especially now with no crowds and what have you. But probably Leicester, because they're coming from a position of greater strength than any of the others of the main rivals. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
I've actually got Leicester 10th. The thing with Brendan Rodgers for me is that he gets found out very quickly. I think if you have a look at Leicester in 2019, they'll probably be like top or second in the whole calendar year because they were just brilliant. If you look at in 2020, I think the 17th or 16th, you've got their wide players aren't very good either. I think Harvey Barnes is all right. He's not much, so I don't think they'll be as good. I think they'll be in the challenging for seventh, but I don't think he will get seventh. I think they'll be a bit short. And then I agree, Wolves and Southampton. I think Wolves, I talked about it this morning on what I wrote. I said the key thing in this league, I think, to get by and to sort of do well is to have continuity, and they have continuity. The team rarely changes, the system doesn't change, the manager hasn't changed. So I think they'll be around the same. And I think at Southampton, I think Ralph Arsenal is doing a very good job there. I think he were really poor, I think, when he first came in, because I think he was still trying to sort of recover the what I called the Mark Hughes syndrome, which is no tactics, just have a go. And you can't really do that in the Premier League anymore, hence why he's not got a job. And so Ralph's turned that around. I think the end of the season brilliantly, and I think they'll be in the picks. And then after that, below that, I think will be, looking just below that will probably be Burnley and Sheffield United and maybe Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I mainly agree. I can see Southampton having another solid season. To be fair, the way they kind of kicked on after the start of last year, we all know about the 9-0 or whatever. Everyone kind of tipped them to go down, but turned around massively. The momentum's everything in football at the end of the day, and they carried on. You know, being a brilliant side. And we saw them when they came to Goodison Park a couple of months ago. I mean, if you've got that kind of energy, I mean, you're going to do well in the Premier League. You know, some managers just, their tactics don't really fit it, but Hasenhüttl just seems to know exactly what he needs to do at the end of the day. They had much more energy than us. They're very kind of high-tempo pressing team. So I can see them definitely challenging up there as well. I can see us there. Wolves and Leicester, I agree. I think it's interesting now, though, because, I mean, I'd also probably throw potentially Arsenal in there, to be honest, because yes, they've brought in Willian and Gabriel. Yes, they've recruited and they've had a season, well, kind of a season under Arteta. I think they're quite unpredictable at the moment. They could drop, well, I wouldn't say drop, but they could be in that same fight as we saw them in just the season just gone, in my opinion. But in terms of that, I can't see anyone else challenging. Yes, Palace have done well to get Batshuayi today, but they're not going to really do anything. Sheffield United, I agree, they're kind of probably just going to slot in. Okay, they could all kind of defy expectations again. Probably not. A solid side, but not going to really, you know, achieve what they did last year. And then just to kind of round off this video, we can talk about the rest of the league quite briefly, just kind of early predictions that we can be called out for by the Everton Daz Twitter in a couple of months' time. But Owen, we'll come to you first. I mean, I know you've done your article on it, but should we just start with relegation? Who are you tipping to go down?
Aston Villa, West Brom, Fulham.
short and to the point. That's what we like. Terry, who are you thinking?
No, I just think it's between Aston Villa, West Ham and Brighton. I think it's second season for Potter. I think they could have gone down last season, but I think he knows the club a bit better now. The defence is pretty good there, though. His 9 million passes before you get the goal will continue to stop them scoring goals and creating chances because they're so easy to defend against. So they'll be down there. West Ham are a mess. I can't see Moyes staying, and if Moyes doesn't stay, if he doesn't want it, then you're looking at really the bottom of the barrel then, aren't you? And they'll struggle. And then Villa, he bought in Cash and Watkins, who were like, but I think even after that, I think Dean Smith is probably one of the worst managers in the league, with probably Scott Parker. And I just don't think he's got the tactical ability to go again. I think he got really, really lucky to stay up. I think Leeds, while they won't be top half and conquer the world and create passing, I still think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Terry?
Fulham, West Brom and Brighton. I'm borderline with, you know, Aston Villa, but I don't know. I think Aston Villa will probably squeak up again, probably in less controversial circumstances. I think Leeds will probably finish just above them. West Ham probably. To be honest, the bottom six will be basically an interchangeable sort of set of those clubs. So it'll be Fulham, West Brom, Brighton, and they'll be the bottom three for me. And then in any order for the three above them will be Villa, Leeds, West Ham. Villa and Leeds are obviously bigger clubs, but they're not at the minute, are they? Let's be honest, they've got poor squad. Well, Villa have got a poor squad. We don't know about Leeds, but I think Leeds will probably, I mean, this is not groundbreaking. A few people have predicted this. I think they'll come out the blocks flying.
Yeah.
And then probably completely gas out as the season goes on. And they're going to struggle without a home crowd for as long as they haven't got one. West Ham, who knows at West Ham, but I think those three will stay up. That'll be the bottom six that'll be fighting it at the end of the season, but those three will go down. Fulham, West Brom and Brighton.
I can see West Ham really struggling, to be honest, purely because if they then sack David Moyes, where do they turn to next? I mean, obviously they brought him in, 2 years ago now. He did a great job for them then. Sack him. You bring in Manuel Pellegrini, who did all right for a bit, but then he massively tailed off. I didn't expect them to go back to David Moyes, but then they did. What?
Nothing. That was about Pellegrini, absolutely woeful coach.
Yeah, and obviously, if they sack David Moyes now, I mean, I really don't get where they turn to next. It's not that they're going to go back to Big Sam. I don't think he's ever going to walk back in there. So you've then got to wonder where do they look to. Maybe we might see Nigel Pearson come back. Into a job this year. He did quite well for Watford. He might be the man that people go to if they're in a struggle. I can see Leeds being fine. Fulham, I can't see being brilliant. I mean, they kind of... But then, to be fair, with teams that kind of come up, you know, that kind of through the playoffs, if they didn't, you know, if they're not, you know, top, by top, I mean, like third, if they don't kind of come third at the top of the playoff places, sometimes they do all right. Like, Palace came up, didn't they, when they were in, like, seventh or something, and they're still here, so... But I can't see Fulham having a particularly strong season. I can see West Ham spiralling, as I mentioned. I'm going to go for West Ham, Fulham and West Brom going down. I mean, West Brom are good. I think Bilic has them playing all right. He's been there for a while now, so he does know the squad. But they don't have a Premier League quality squad, really. So I can't see them doing brilliantly. But other than that, I mean, I guess we could take the top four if you really want to. Owen, Champions League football? Say,
Nigel Pearson's new club's West Brom. That's it.
That's
put it out when he's appointed in November. top four, City, Liverpool, Chelsea and Spurs.
Okay, Terry?
Liverpool, City, Spurs, Chelsea.
It pains me to say it, but I'll go Liverpool, City, Chelsea and United, probably. I think Spurs will have a better season than last season, but I don't know if I can see them breaking in yet. I mean, speaking to the lads from We Are Tottenham TV, they're not the most confident in their transfer business so far. I mean, they still haven't brought in a striker. Yes, they've done well to bring in Højbjerg and Doherty, but they still don't have any kind of plan B at all if Harry Kane, not even if Harry Kane gets injured, if Harry Kane just isn't working in a game, they then don't have anything to turn to, because you're not like, you're not going to bring on Troy Parrott at the end of the day. So, he's at Millwall, of course, he definitely can't bring him on then, but I can't really see them breaking in the Champions League yet, maybe give it a couple of years. And then, but I think Chelsea are maybe one of the more interesting teams in the league now, because if they don't, then if they don't have a, you know, a really good start, there's questions being asked. There was kind of, you know, no expectations last year. You know, they had a young squad, couldn't make transfers. People say they couldn't sign players. At the end of the day, they brought in Pulisic and Kovacic, which aren't bad signs at all. You definitely take them at Everton. But I think if they don't hit the ground running, questions could stop being asked to Frank Lampard because of the money's now been spent. But I think they'll probably make Champions League anyway. But that's pretty much it for our kind of season preview. Spoke a bit about Everton as well as the rest of the league. First preview of the 2020-21 campaign. First game up is away to Spurs on Sunday. In terms of expectations, I'm just going to start this off. I've got very little going into this game. It's not going to be the most high-energy, high-tempo game at the end of the day. It's the first game after a pretty short pre-season. Spurs have a lot of games. We'd have signings that haven't played for us yet. I can't see it setting the world alight. But Owen, kind of your initial thoughts on the game going into it?
Yeah, I think it's a 1-0 either way, to be honest. I think as when we came back after lockdown, after that break, I think it's going to be a similar type of game to what we saw when we first came back. 0-0s, 1-0s, like edgy games where I think teams who start the season, no pre-season, I think they just want to get points on the board and build fitness up. And I think Evan's going to be pretty much the same. I think if you're offering me a 0-0 now, I'd probably take it just to get off the mark, get a point. And then with West Brom at home, that's your chance to get your first 3 points. I think we're going to be quite limited in what we can put out because people have come back from like international duty and whatnot. So I think it's just a case of just trying to get out the game with something and see where we get. I'd love to see the new signings play, but I doubt any of them will probably play. Hope and Alan maybe, because he's been there a bit longer, but more hope than expectation, to be honest.
Terry, your initial thoughts going into it?
Yeah, it feels like we were only doing this 5 minutes ago, doesn't it? The Tottenham game. I agree with that one. I think the early games, because of the short pre-season, and because everyone's still doing transfer business, traditionally, when the transfer window, you know, used to shut while the season had started, it's clubs like us who didn't do all of our business till the end usually would only get their season going after the international break, wouldn't they? After they'd done all the business and it would shut. So I think it'll be similar to that now. We'll probably see, you know, draws, you know, cagey games. And then when this transfer window shuts, you'll start to see people's proper teams taking shape and, you know, how the season's going to pan out. This game, I wouldn't, you know, if you're a neutral, I wouldn't, you know, set time aside to watch this, because I think both teams are going to set up to be compact and like defensive and try and hit the other one on the break. So, because, you know, for example, we've got Holgate injured, so we're going to play Mina and Keane. So we're going to sit in the low block and we're going to have probably Coleman at right back, and we're probably just going to want Tottenham to come on to us, and we'll try and hit them on the break with Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, which, you know, why wouldn't we do that? But this is Jose Mourinho's Tottenham. They're not going to leave us loads of gaps to exploit on the break and at the back. So I think this will be a cagey game. And I think wouldn't be surprised if we saw a draw, just to get points on the board for each team, for each manager. And then obviously we've got the home game, as Owen said, to register our first win.
And just see the image now of both teams sitting in a low block and the ball being left in the middle of the pitch.
it's not going to be a spectacle of football, I don't think. I mean, obviously our new signings haven't played. Doherty hasn't played for them yet, I don't think, in their pre-season. Højbjerg apparently has. Apparently he's been quite decent. I mean, we can speak a bit about him, obviously, I'm not coming in. But that's in terms of their transfers, I think that's pretty much it. But coming to Terry, I mean, this isn't going to be in the starting 11 video, but are you going to look to any of the transfers to kind of go straight into the team?
I think Alan will, because we need someone who can tackle and retain and recover, sorry, the ball in the centre of midfield. I still think we'll get the old Sigurdsson in centre midfield with the armbands on, but it'll be next to Alan, so he might look a bit better. Because obviously Gomez was sent home for, you know, his levels and his fitness not being up to the standards for Portugal, so I don't see him having a big turnaround in that time. So yeah, I'm assuming we'd only see Alan and we'll have Doucouré and James on the bench. I think you've got to be gentle with the players, you know, new players going in straight away, because they haven't had much, you know, if they've had a pre-season, which, you know, Doucouré and Alan have, they won't have had much of one, and they certainly haven't had one with our team. But I think Alan's sort of role, because we've got no one else who can play that position, we might have to put him straight in, whereas James can wait and Doucouré can certainly wait, because we've got, you know, players who can play that position. It could surprise us, though. Who knows? We could end up with all three starting and everyone's head falls off. But I reckon Alan as well, just Alan.
I think it is tricky because I'm not sure. I don't think any three of them have actually played a game in pre-season yet. So none of them have actually got any minutes. I mean, it's not like we've got loads. We've had two games. Obviously, we have had players playing international games. We've had Luca Dean at France. Moise Keane's played like 5 minutes or something for the Italian team. Keane didn't feature for England. It's not exactly ideal. By the sounds of it, Spurs have played more games than us in pre-season, so they seem to be a bit more ready. But Owen, are you expecting any of the new signs to come straight in?
No, just Alan. And I'd say that are a push as well, because I think we need someone in there who can run around a bit. I don't think we can go Gomez and Davis. We won't be going Gomez because, quite surprised, he's unfit. But we've got Davis and Tickets, and I don't think we can go for that. So Alan, I think he'll just say, just run around a bit, mate, because you won't be able to play here, even if you do badly. And I think he'll put him next to Gilfy. I think he'll play, mainly because I think set pieces, if we're looking to win a game, it'll be through a corner or something, so he's all right off them. So I think it'll be Sigurdsson and Alan. I think it'll just be a case of whoever's fifth plays on the wide area.
I can see Doucouré and Alan playing. I'm not sure he's put them both in, of course. Doucouré's been with Watford, former Premier League team, as Terry does like to call them. Of course, he does have that Premier League experience. He doesn't need time to bed in necessarily to the league, but yeah, he will have trained less than James and Alan. I definitely don't think we'll see James. I don't see the need to rush him in, really. I mean, yes, he's going to add a lot of quality, but I think at least one of the centre midfielders is what we need desperately. Alan will make a lot of sense. He did train with Napoli at their training squad for, I don't know, a week or something. I can't remember how long it was. He knows Ancelotti's system better than Doucouré definitely does. I'm not sure about James. I'm not sure what Ancelotti really used when he used Hammers in the past, but we can definitely talk about system, because we've seen 4-3-3 in pretty much both preseason games. Of course, we spent most of last year playing a 4-4-2. Owen, what do you really see us starting with today? I mean, we've all spoken about the low block already, so I can imagine what you're going to say, but what system do you think we'll really go into this game with?
I think we'll play a 4-4-2.
While
we have been playing with a three-man midfield and towards the end of last season and the pre-season, I think that's just because none of our midfield can run. And I think Ancelotti probably thinks we'll just throw three of them in there to run around a bit, as opposed to two of them. Now with Alan in there, I think you've got legs and energy, or Doucouré, if he plays one of them, I think he puts Sigurdsson next to them. I think he thinks we can get away with going back to a 4-4-2 because there'll be more energy. And I think that's what ultimately he wants to play. He might play a 4-3-3, but I'm sort of sticking in there, hoping he goes for 4-4-2.
Yeah, Terry, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think the change of formation has just been an added necessity, because he realised these midfielders can't live with a 4-4-2. But now he might not put all the midfielders straight in, but he's got midfielders in training who can play a 4-4-2. I think he'll revert back to that, because it does get the best out of the two strikers, and they're the two players you need to build around. So Alan, and then eventually Alan and Doucouré, and, you know, the forgotten man, Gbamon, possibly eventually, could be part of a 4-4-2. And he might just build around that. And then, you know, who knows, you could have James on that left, you know, playmaker role. Could have him. I don't think he's fast enough to go on the right, but, you know, we got options now, whereas we didn't have them when he was in the restart games and the pre-season.
Yeah, I can see us starting with a 4-4-2. I know we played the 4-3-3 in pre-season, but it's not like that really ever has much bearing on the tactics. I mean, against Preston, of course, Bernard was playing kind of centrally in a 4-3-3 with Sigurdsson in the same midfield. It's not like that's going to happen at all going into this game. So I can see starting with a 4-4-2, especially because not everyone's full fitness. Also, not everyone's been there the whole of pre-season. 4-3-3 is, I mean, to an extent, we don't know what goes on the training ground, but it is a fairly new tactic to them all. They've played a lot more in the 4-4-2 under Ancelotti. So maybe for the first couple of weeks, you might just want to stick to what they know. But there's not too much we can really get into this because it is pre-season. And we can't really analyse Spurs' past results, but we can talk about their transfer business. They have brought in Doherty from Wolves, about £15 million, I think. Højbjerg was a similar fee. Of course, a player that we were after early on in the window, but he decided he wanted to go to Spurs instead. Owen, what have your thoughts really been on their transfer business? Do you think it's been good, and where do you think they're still lacking going into this game?
I think with Spurs, and it's been the same thing for quite a number of years now. They've got a great first 11, but I think if you scratch beneath the surface, they haven't really got a great like bench and cover and that. I think Højbjerg's a good player out of Adam Morevans, no doubt. I think he gets around the pitch. I think he provides energy. I think he's suited to the way Mourinho wants to play. Doherty, I'm unsure of him, to be honest, as a top-level fullback, but he could prove me wrong. He could do well. I think he's decent enough. I think they still lack a bit, but I think any confidence I have in Spurs is due to Jose Mourinho and not any of really their players. Kane is a good finisher. They've got some good players, of course. They're a top 16, but my confidence is with the manager.
Yeah, I think they've done good business, to be fair. I think Højbjerg had something that they were lacking because, speaking of Spurs fans, Ndombele wasn't doing a whole lot of running last year. They had some similar problems to us, not in the same kind of extent, but they also lacked some energy problems, and that's what Højbjerg definitely brings in kind of masses. That's why we definitely wanted to bring him in early on. I think Doherty would be, I think he'll suit them a lot, to be fair, because we know that Mourinho can play with that kind of the wing-back role. We saw Aurier being deployed a bit further forwards last year. I'm not sure Mourinho is even the biggest fan of Aurier. I mean, I don't know if either of you watched the documentary, but he kind of does have a go of him quite a few times for being caught out of position or, you know, being a poor tackler of the ball. He's now brought in a man that he seemed very keen on. I think he'll suit the system well. And we saw against Wolves last year when we played them, was it the Molineux when they beat us 3-0? Their width was far too much. I mean, everything was... They were far too much for us in kind of every position. But again, the width that they had with Doherty at the time and Johnny was a massive problem for us. And I'm not sure defence knew really how much to handle it. But Terry, what are your thoughts on Spurs' transfer business?
It's not done. They're never done early, Spurs. They will do more business at the end of the window when prices come down. They're the masters at it. So what they've done so far, it's boring, isn't it? It's a whole midfielder and a right back. It's functional. It's certainly fat. You know, like I'm not saying it's bad business. It's good business, but you can't get excited about a right back and a set on a whole midfielder, can you? It's just like, yeah, they're good players. They'll improve Spurs, but you know, when you look at our transfers, is anyone buzzing over it? Like outside, does I mean, was anyone on a Tottenham show say, can't believe they've got Doherty? They'd all talk about James, wouldn't they? They'd all say, yeah, they're getting that, you know, creative attacking player from Real Madrid. So it's hard to go too nuts, but I think Højbjerg's a good player. Same as Owen, I'd have loved him here. I thought he was good. You know, he'd have been, you know, good fit for our system. Doherty, I'd be interested to see how he gets on in a flat back four if that's what they play, because he's been obviously a wing back, hasn't he? At Wolves, and he's excelled there. So whether he's as good there, we'll see. It's functional, isn't it? It's very Jose. His track record for transfers wasn't great at Man United, but over his career, it's been pretty good. He knows a Mourinho player. He knows players that play his system. Where he come and stuck at United is they didn't want him to play that system, so they wanted him to sort of use those players but play differently. They're not like us. They've got no concerns over adapting to the league for those two. They'll just go straight into the team, I think, whereas we're like a little bit like, oh, we need to give Alan and James more time, etc. But it's okay. we'll see more at the end of the window because Spurs will do a lot more, I think.
Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, we can have a score predictions, potentially any scorers. I think we've all kind of referenced the draw so far. But Owen, any score predictions?
No, no.
Brilliant, very exciting. Terry?
1-1.
Another very exciting score. I'll go for a 1-11 win. I'll keep it hopeful. I'll keep it positive. James can come off the bench, score screamer.
Do you know what? I'm going to put my neck out on the line and say, this will be the first game in Premier League since 2009, since when Spurs and Everton last played, where there was zero shots on target in the game. I'm going for that.
you've been made up with that. That'll be your. You tape that game.
Sunday night booked up, mate, if that happens.
So,
podcast extra. You've both been watching the Spurs documentary, have you, on Amazon?
I have, yeah. It's very good, I think.
What did you make of the Danny Rose incident?
It's interesting because Owen's dropped off there, but I mean, we can still talk. It's interesting because, players are meant to have that kind of winner mentality, but I don't think he really went about it in the right way. If any man to disrespect, I wouldn't go for Jose Mourinho, but to be fair, the way Mourinho reacted to it, he seemed like he quite liked it, to be fair. He probably likes players reacting to him like that, you know, wanting that kind of place in the team. But, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Danny Rose as a character anyway. And he's not very good anymore. I think he thinks he's better than he is. But it's not the end of the world to have a player desperately want to play football. But I didn't really get when he said, oh, he's going to go like tell on Daniel because Mourinho's not playing him. I didn't really appreciate that point. It's a professional football, but what were your thoughts, Terry?
Well, I 100% on Mourinho's side because for anyone who doesn't know, I used to be a manager of a big sports retailer. Basically,
I thought you were about to tell us you about being you used to be the manager of like a non-league team or something.
Yeah, I was Tony Pulis, and I said to them, "Stand on the goalie's toes," and said, "I have been over and long throws."
I used to be a manager in a big sports retailer, probably the biggest sports retailer you can figure out, and it's not owned by Mike Ashley, the other one. and I've managed staff, and obviously he's managing a team of players, and I was only managing staff, but it's a similar scenario. I have been sat in that exact chair that fucking Jose Mourinho was sitting in that scenario, when you've got someone who works for you coming in, talking a good game and talking the odds about this isn't fair and that isn't fair. And you know what the elephant in the room is? Jose thinks he's shit and he can't say it. He's got to dance around it and say, so-and-so did this and you didn't do that and all that. What he wants to say to the players' faces, you're not getting picked, mate, because you're crap. It's like he can't say that outright, though. And then obviously Danny Rose does what all staff members do when they're not good at their job, is they point the finger at other players going, you know, and they don't mention names because they don't want to be caught slagging people off, but they go, you know, other people have been shit in training and other people have been shit in games going, yeah, but what you don't realise, Danny, is that means you were worse. Like, that means even though they've been performing badly, you're still worse than that. But because he can't see it like that, and that's the way they always are, the people who are like that, if they're shit, they just sort of write it off as like, well, you know, that doesn't count, but other people's does count. So I was sitting there thinking, it's the same everywhere. Like, the elephant in the room is, it's not about his effort, it's about how good he is, and he's not good enough. So when Tanganga comes in and is better than him, that makes Mourinho's mind up for him. He's like, right, he needed to go, he's not good enough. And Rose is sitting there, and you can see in the next scene how deluded he is. He's going, you know, I'm not playing there, I want to, you know, he wants top tier clubs to come in for him, going, yeah, but there's a reason.
When he's asking what Milan are doing, is their interest still there?
Yeah, but Milan tried to buy Anthony Robinson from Wigan instead of him. What does that tell you? Like, it's just, there's a reason Bournemouth and Newcastle, the only teams that come in for you, it's, you're not good enough, mate. Like, if you were any good, those top teams would be in for you, you'd be playing at Spurs. This is a top manager, And that's another thing that all staff members do. If they don't like the truth, they go and I'll take it to someone else who'll tell me something different. It's like, I'll take it to Daniel. Go on, take it, because all he's going to do is say, you know, it's Mourinho's decision. He's the manager. I was sitting there sympathising with Jose loads, watching that, going, oh, I know what it's like to sit in that chair. It does your head in, because you've got to be diplomatic with someone who's under no obligation to be diplomatic and will just throw his teammates under the bus and refuse to see the writing on the wall.
Jose seemed to find it quite funny, though. He was sat, like, laughing when Danny Rose was talking, which I thought was quite funny, to be fair. Did you say you'd seen it, Owen, or have you not seen it?
No, I've not seen it yet, but what you've described to me is exactly the conversations I expect to be having now between Fabian Delph and Carlo Ancelotti. No, Fabian, we don't want you here, Fabian.
Yeah, I think
that was good.
Yeah, I got I got those vibes off Danny Rose going, I just thought, I bet you Fabian Delph's like that. He's miserable, calls everyone else shit, moans about everyone else, and he doesn't do anything to make himself better. Like, talks the game like he's class and everyone else is shit when he's one of the shittest ones there.
Fabian Delph is the type of person who's to sit down and expect someone to bring his dinner over in the canteen, isn't he? He's just horrible.
Yeah. I think I think the club would like to get him gone as well. I think he's one of the, it hasn't worked, has it? Let's be honest.
It's interesting Newcastle didn't go back in for him, though. That's what I find interesting. They kind of went elsewhere. Well, they went for Jamal Lewis. I mean, he went there on loan. Clearly, they didn't fancy him that much. I mean, that might be wages or something. I bet he asked for a lot of money, does Danny Rose.
He did very well, to be honest.
He wasn't good there either. And he's overweight in that, isn't he, for a player? It's like, this is the thing. You're shit, Danny. You need to stop being shit and go somewhere else. Now he's back at Tottenham and they're trying to get rid of him.
Yeah. And Milan. Oh, don't seem to become, but not even Bournemouth seem to be back in for him, and they wanted him when they were in the Prem.
Well, he'll go to West Brom.
He'll get another loan.
Kieran Gibbs, there's another one. A big reputation, done nothing.
He'll get another loan.
That'd be quite the left-back partnership, that, though. Gibbs and Danny Rose. What on earth is that?
He'll get another loan at another Premier League club, and he'll probably stink that place out as well. I'm just glad that it's all about playing time for him, because I would have been petrified if I was taking him to cover Luca Thiem, but he's not going to want to be cover for anyone. He wants to go somewhere that needs, you know, a first-choice left-back, and he's probably going to struggle. Where's he from? He's obviously Northern, isn't he?
I'm not sure. He's got
Is he from Leeds?
He's done a loan at Sunderland, hasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's from up north, and I think he'll go to one of the northern clubs. I don't know which one. Could be Leeds, could be. I mean, I don't know. I'd say that they could have a great left back. I don't know. But
Gates said, oh, looking for a left back, to be fair. They just sold their captain, so he might fit in well in the National League North. But I can't see him going to a Premier League team.
That's only if Juventus don't come in for him.
But then, actually, speaking of Juventus, that's a perfect segue into the quiz for today. Got a pre-season special. Obviously, another one of our match day quizzes. I've spoken to John. Apparently, we haven't done this one yet. I can't remember what year. I think it was 2013 now. Whatever that pre-season was, we take on Juventus. John Stones, 19 years old, steps up Panenka's Gianluigi Buffon, I think it was, to win on penalties. I don't know. Do either of you remember this game?
No.
I literally remember that Panenka penalty that Johnson.
Yeah, that's all I remember as well. Yeah,
announced himself, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite the moment. But that's the game we're going for today. Will be a starting lineup game, as I mentioned, like always. Only players that counted, players that started, or players that came on as used subs. There is an even amount of players though, so we might need a tiebreaker. So I'll need to think of one while we answer, but probably start the dramatic quiz music now. And then, because Owen is the esteemed guest, of course, Owen, we're coming over to you first. Player that started in that game, or came on as a sub.
We've already given John Stones away, so I'm going to say John Stones.
John Stones absolutely did play that game. It was it was the summer after he came in the January, actually, so he hadn't actually done much, and then he came in that pre-season, and he's all right, to be fair. Terry?
Phil Jagielka as a centre back partner.
Yep.
Stephen Naismith.
no Naismith. I believe he was injured. Yeah. Oh no, he was a sub that wasn't used.
Typical. So, he was brilliant that season. He doesn't come on in the preseason.
Terry can nick it already.
Seamus Coleman.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman did play. While Terry thinks of his music, yeah, we can just rattle off the rest of them if we want to. Owen, over to you. You got any names?
Darren Gibson
did play, yeah. Terry, any more?
Leighton Baines, just going through the back four now.
Yeah. I just kind of leave it open now. We don't really need to go back and forwards.
Leon Osman.
Yeah, Osman started, yeah.
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard, yeah, he started.
Pienaar
played, yeah.
Jelavich
was an unused sub, I think, yeah.
Fellaini, because we hadn't signed anyone yet, have we?
Fellaini, yeah, he played.
Morales.
It's not a bad side, this, really, actually, coming to think about it. Morales, yeah, he played.
Anichebe
played, yeah.
Have we had Pienaar?
Yeah, we've had Pienaar. There's one player that we haven't mentioned who started, I think. We've had Howard, Coleman, Stones, Dragielka, Baines, Pienaar, Fellaini, Morales, Anichebe, Gibson.
This was the start of Martinez, wasn't it? So Ross Barkley?
Ross Barkley came off the bench in the 88th minute, but he didn't start.
Oh, I think I've got it. He played three centre-backs, didn't he? Like, and we all
he
thought
did.
We all thought he was going to do that because he did it at Wigan. Was it Distan?
Yeah, Sylvain Distan did start that game, yeah. And then there was one more player who came off the bench.
Apostolos.
Playing the Europa League semi-final very recently.
Who for?
Whoever United played.
Oh, shit! It was Oviedo who played for Copenhagen.
Yeah, Brian Oviedo, yeah. Might be playing in more Europa League semi-finals than we are.
Fucking hell. Flying Brian.
Have you thought your song, Terry?
No, because I've been guessing players. Give me a second.
Don't suppose you want to get cocky on and start rattling off some Juventus players while we wait. I mean, some interesting ones that I actually forgot played there at all.
Pirlo, that's all you're getting off me.
Pirlo. Didn't Pirlo miss his penalty, actually?
I think so, yeah.
And yeah, I think Pirlo stepped up for a minute.
Yeah, and then immediately following, Stones did the chip, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, Chiellini, does he even play for them?
Well, he was actually a sub not used. Ogbonna played for them then.
Ogbonna, Jesus Christ, we wanted him. Thank God we didn't.
Carlos Tevez was playing for them still then.
Carlos Tevez?
Yeah, Llorente. Obviously, I don't know. Where is Llorente now after he went to Napoli or something, didn't he? Is he still there?
I don't know, but he's going to Aston Villa at some point.
is that like a nailed on?
They can take Sigurdsson as well if they want and reunite that famous partnership.
Well, do you know what? We'll have Jack Grealish and we'll give them Sigurdsson Delf.
TTV's on a move as well. It is quite funny, though, that Zaha transfer where, you know, remember when Sky were talking about a part exchange with McCarthy and Tosin, and then they both ended up there anyway, and we ended up with absolutely nothing. So,
yeah.
have you found one?
Yeah, I've got one. I was trying to find a rock one that I hadn't used before. I'm going to go with Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne.
Brilliant. I've got no idea what that is, Owen. Have you ever heard that song before?
I've just about heard the Ozzy Osbourne, so...
Same, to be fair.
I've boxed myself in too much when I used to do the quizzes. I used to always do them against Max, And Max, he won most of them because, you know, damn shit, basically. But he basically, you know, I beat Thomas though, so. He'd pick, like, you know, Stereophonics or you know, like, I don't know, normal people music, I suppose. And I was like, oh, I've got to.
Whenever normal I win, people music.
Yeah, I've drawn a blank on who he used to pick, but he used to pick, like, basically stuff like that, or rap songs and whatever, which I do like. But I thought, you know what? He's never going to pick, like, a hard rock or a metal or, like, that type of song. So within reason, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick, like, the singles, not going to pick obscure like album tracks of like metal bands I like, but I thought I'll pick like, you know, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses or Enter Sandman by Metallica. I think I'm going to pick, you know, your dad's, you know, rock music that he plays in the shed while he's working. And that's sort of my niche now. And I've won enough quizzes now that I'm starting to struggle and running out of songs. They've gone, oh, I need to start.
Won enough quizzes. Getting ahead of himself, dear mate. The season hasn't even started yet.
My favourite one was the one I won against you, which you really, really don't like, but that was my favourite.
Which one was that? I mean, you've only beaten me like twice, but I'm sure.
Why? Because I thought it was once. Nice one, brother.
No, I think you beat me once because there was an uneven amount of players and you went first, so you won that. And then there was another one, I think, where I just had a mare once, so.
Yeah,
because we did a quiz once where it was like trivia, it wasn't a lineup, so I couldn't really guess. And so I didn't do very well in that one. But...
Oh, I see. So when it was not a game of averages, you were in the mud. Is that how it was?
Like with
I play the game that's in front of me, to be fair. I can only play by the rules. But, you know, I was. That's it for today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Let's hope for a good result against Spurs anyway. We are finally getting into this season. I mean, I say finally. It feels like last season's just gone, really. Yeah, it's only been what feels like a few weeks anyway. Thank you to Terry Nook for coming on. Definitely check out their social media. Check all the Toffee Blue social media. Their support over the past couple of weeks has been absolutely brilliant. Thank you for that, whether it's our new Colombian audience or new Brazilian audience or whoever's kind of in the comments these days. Very much appreciate it nonetheless. So thank you very much for listening and join us next time on the Toffee Blues.